It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading with verse 26, Matthew 19, 26. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, and love for you to do that, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that you'll take an opportunity to check out the site. We've got many studies there. The plan of salvation, our church constitution is there as well. So please that you would open that up and enjoy it. And we would love to hear from you, and you could email us if you'd like. If you don't want to write or don't want to call, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. Now, if that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today, and we're going to begin reading now with verse 26, Matthew 19, 26. But Jesus beheld them and said to them, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said to them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." That ends the chapter of 19. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to come and have this pleasure and this joy of studying. Please guide and lead us, Father, each and every day. Show us your way and will for our lives and guide us, Father. And just take your word now and touch every heart that is listening today, that their life will be changed because they come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, send your Spirit out that he will convict the hearts, that the folks will be saved, will be born again, will come to the cross of Calvary, recognizing that Jesus died on that cross, your Son died on that cross to save them, to take their sin away, to set them free, and to give them not only everlasting life, but a joy and life today. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us through this study today. Show us what we need to learn and know today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these words, the rich, young rich man, we've got to almost start up quite a bit ahead of this, almost to the 16th verse. And if you missed the study before, why, it was a rich young ruler had come to Jesus and had declared that he literally was living a perfect life and wanted to know what else there was. What lack I yet? The end of verse 20 says. He wants to know, as far as he was concerned, as far as the Jewish law was concerned, he had fulfilled everything. Now, we know that that was not true, but in his heart and in his mind, he felt that he was that good, that everything was fine. And so we come through that, and Jesus tells them then in verse 21, "If thou will be perfect, go and sell thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." And come and follow me. And when the young man heard that, I'm in verse 22 of the 19th chapter, saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had great possessions. The sad thing is that that kind of provided what we can see and what the Lord Jesus knew all along, that he was lacking in the greatest of the commandments, and that was to put no other gods before me. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind. Jesus knew that this rich young man did not do that. He did not love the Lord Jesus. He loved his possessions, and Jesus knew that. That was the reason that he asked him to sell those things. So we have that. And then the next conversation there, very quickly, so we can move on to the next part here. But very quickly, what happened was that the disciples then wanted to know, when this young man heard this, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And then verse 23, it says, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." There's the problem. And the disciples were amazed, as it says, and discouraged or disappointed, wondering who could get in. This man had lived such an upright life, and yet Jesus said that if you're rich, it's almost impossible for you to go to heaven. It's almost impossible for you to have your sins forgiven. Well, as it tells us, and we read verse 26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, it's the entering in. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and convicts your heart and show you who you really are, and then shows you who you really need to know, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I spoke earlier during the prayer that we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, we need to trust in him as our Savior, we need to walk with him each and every day and serve him, but we need to accept the free gift of salvation that he offers because of the sacrifice he made on the cross of Calvary. We must do that. We have to do that in order to have eternal life, and then we need to put God first. We need to put him first and serve him and never let anything of this life or world get in the road. And yes, we know often things do. But if you come by faith to Jesus, he will save you and he will keep you. And that's the joy of salvation. It's not works. It's God's righteousness that he hands to us if we accept that free gift. And that is what's important about that 26th verse. Yes, with men this is impossible. You can't be saved on your own, but with God, all things are possible because he made the opportunity through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. Well, that then lifted another question. Number one, they wanted to know who in the world can be saved if this young man can't be. The eye of a needle, a camel to go through that, and as I shared with you, this is not just something, some believe that it's a location in or around Jerusalem that is made to where you can, if the camel gets down on his knees, then he can shuffle through so he can make it with a little bit of humbling and a little effort. But that's not true, because if we humble ourselves, if we try and try and try, as this young ruler did, it doesn't matter, because we must come by faith to the Lord Jesus, knowing he's the one that saved us. He's the one that took our sins away. That's what we need to understand. Okay, we've been through that, but then the next thing came with the next question was that, if you were going to offer to this young rich man the joy, let me read it for you in verse 21. If thou be perfect, because he said he was, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. The disciples did. That's exactly what they did. Now, maybe they didn't have the wealth that this young man had, but they did have possessions. They had homes, and they had fishing boats, and they had properties. Matthew was fairly well-to-do. He forsook all. And so as we examine that, then it brought back a question to Peter then. This is what we've done, so what are you going to give us? Now, isn't it so sad that they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus? They're walking each and every day serving the Lord, receiving the benefits of the Lord's presence. And yet we find that they desire to have more. So you've offered that to him. You've never offered that to us. So what is it in there for me? And isn't that a very selfish statement? And yet it is a statement that is very, very common. Before we get into that 27th verse, there's a couple of verses of Scripture. We've covered them last time, but again, in closing, I like to back up and touch those again. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. What a joy. And again, it's a promise that God gives us. If we come by faith, he will keep us. Now let's go to James. Got Hebrews close by there, and then James is tucked in right behind Hebrews. And we have the 5th chapter of Hebrews, or of James. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come unto you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and your silver is cankered, your rust and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of your laborers, who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. So we find that there is a judgment upon the rich if their riches are more important than the Lord. Now, you can be rich. You can have great wealth. But see that great wealth is not something that's standing before you and is more important to you than anything that the Lord could give you, which is eternal life, because that will keep you out of heaven. That'll keep you in your sin, and you're going to die in your sin. And the Scripture tells us clearly that we're condemned already if we do not come by faith to Jesus. So please, trust in him today. Now, once again, we come down to Peter and Peter's statement that, okay, we've done that, Lord. We have forsaken. Now, what are you going to give us? So that's the question that we have here. Now, we're going to go back and read the account in Mark and in Luke as well, because it's the same story, same message. We need to see it. When I say story, I don't mean to make light of the truth of what it's telling us, because it is of truth, and so we need to stand and recognize that. Mark chapter 10, verse 28, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and for the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and last first." That's Mark. Let's go on to Luke and read the same message. Luke 18, 28. Luke 18, 28. "Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." So that was the promise that was given. Once again, Peter reminds Jesus that he had left, and the others with him had left all to follow him. And so, what's in it for us? And the question is, you know, so for the sacrifice that we have made, what's our reward? I mean, that's what Peter wanted to know. Peter heard the promise given to the rich man. He wanted to know. Jesus responded to him, "Verily," this is in verse 28, Matthew 19, 28. "And Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The regeneration that it speaks of here is the new birth. You hear me say you need to be born again. That's exactly what that is referring to. So you that are born again, they will be given this wonderful opportunity. There will be 12 thrones, and they're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what they are giving this opportunity. So he tells them immediately. Now, let's look up some verses of Scripture. Let's go back to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It tells us very clearly here, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." The washing of regeneration. We talk about the Word of God, the water. It brings us as we pour over the Word of God, that truth, that brings the truth to us. "Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." There's nothing we can do for salvation. Jesus paid it all. But you need to come by faith to him. You need to look to him. You need to trust in him. Please, trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Don't miss that. Don't so often today that is not taught nor preached in our churches, and I don't understand why. That they have left the gospel and they have went to works. Well, I know why. They've been tricked by the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What a gift. What an opportunity to come by faith. This here, as we read this in the 19th chapter, refers to the new birth of the nation of Israel. We talk about meaning the joy of coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a personal relationship. You need to come by faith to Jesus. You need to trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. But this reference here, this 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, that will take place during the wonderful opportunity when the kingdom comes to earth. When the kingdom comes to earth, that is when that will take place. Let's go back to Isaiah. In other words, after the church age, after the tribulation, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8. Isaiah 66, 8. Way to the end of the book. Isaiah 66, 8. Who hath heard such things? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her child, her children. Now, we know in one day, in 1948, in one day, the nation of Israel was brought back to life. It had no existence for hundreds of years. And yet, God brought them back in 1948. He worked it out that they received back their land. You see, it's impossible to be a nation without land. And yet, Israel stayed together without land. Shall the earth be made to bring in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? What a joy. What a joy. They will be restored back in their homeland. You see, most people don't realize that that's what the tribulation's all about. We're in the church age right now. Been there since the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, close to 2,000 years ago. And what's going to take place is the church is going to be raptured. The church is going to be taken up. What a joy. All born-again believers, all those that are regenerated, all those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus will be taken home, go to heaven. What a joy. Now, with that opportunity, it will usher in the tribulation period. Maybe you've heard of the tribulation period. It's a 7-year period. And during that period, there is a regathering of the nation of Israel. And not only a regathering, but an opportunity for millions of Jews, Israelites, to be born again. There's going to be 144,000 preachers, 12,000 from every tribe, that's going to be proclaiming the clear truth to bring the nation of Israel to the Lord Jesus for salvation. and those that are born again through that tribulation period will usher in the millennial reign of Christ. There will be Gentiles, but the bulk of it's going to be Jews, Israelites. It's a calling back. That seven-year tribulation period is an opportunity in the time when there'll be a regathering back to Jerusalem. Millions of Jews. And the teaching of the truth will come. And I pray, and we know according to the Word of God, that multitudes will be saved. It's going to be a horrible time here upon earth. If you are listening and you're an Israelite or a Jew, please listen to the Word. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus right now and not have to go into that tribulation period, because he could call us home today. He could call us home right now. Be ready. Be ready. Let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him, peace, without spot and blameless. We have the tribulation period. The rapture of the church is first. We go home. 7 years of tribulation, a calling back to the nation of Israel. The millennial reign, 1,000 years. And then we find the cleansing, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That gives you a small listing of the calendar of events. While we're this close to Revelation, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What precious words. What precious words. As we move quickly back to Matthew chapter 19, we find, as we looked at these 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, that judgment signifies authority and power, rank. The Old Testament, when God put into place the judges of Israel, They were great, a great courage, patriots, honor, valor. They passed judgment. But my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?